I'm always so impressed how people can take these wonderful songs and change them and make them even more interesting. It's awesome. Hear the word of the Lord for a meditation this day. It comes from the gospel lesson, these words. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then?" said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks. For you shared with Pilate your purpose statement, your mission statement. And you were faithful. And you accomplished what you said your purpose was. You bore witness to the truth. That is why in Revelation it says you are the witness. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And on this Christ the King Sunday, we want to ask the question, what is your purpose for us? And how are we fulfilling that purpose? So Lord Jesus, bless this word to our hearts this day. May it indeed change our hearts and our lives to know we are people with a purpose and that you have given us all that we need in order to fulfill it. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Purpose. I have to say that in the last 5 or 6 years, I've hesitated to use the word purpose because when purpose-driven life came out, it kind of got overused. And I think that maybe is, I don't want to be harsh or anything, but I think it just kind of got overdone. And so I kind of stayed away from it for a long time. But every time I read this text, and this text is here because today is the end of the church year. Just like December 31st for the calendar year, today is the end of the church year. Next Sunday we'll be celebrating the first Sunday in Advent and starts the year 2010 of the Christian church. Pretty cool, hey? I love these organizations that say 20 years and counting. And I go, ha, I work for 2010 years. Tradition here, you know, in a positive way. But what's exciting is as we come to the end of the year, it's always a chance for us to evaluate, isn't it? How many of you, as you look back at on December 31st, think to yourselves, what has happened over the last year? If you watch anything on television, they go over what happened in the last year, right? Everybody looks back and says, you know, this happened over this last year. Well, my question for us is, how are we doing? Because Jesus, in front of Pilate, gives his purpose statement, his mission statement. And I read it in a different translation because I, for my personal devotions, I use either the New Living Translation or the English Standard Version. And the reason I do that is because I have a bunch of notes that go with it, and so I've been using it to translate and stuff. And I really like the English Standard Version of this verse where it says, in Jesus' answer to Pilate, he says, "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I came into the world." That's why I had to use the word purpose. Because in the Greek, this is actually a word that simply means this reason, this purpose. And I just thought it was really impressive that he gives his mission statement to Pilate, and what does he say? Why did he come into the world? What was his purpose? I mean, you would think as Christians, we know the purpose for which Jesus came into the world, right? Because we hear it in John Lots. We hear that he came into the world to bring light into darkness, right? He came into the world to die for our sins. He came into the world to heal people. He came into the world to raise the dead. He came into the world to feed the hungry. He came into the world to release the oppressed. He came into the world to do all kinds of things, right? But yet, what does he do? He summarizes it in one statement. He says, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. And for the sake of Pilate, he says this, for this purpose I was born, for this purpose I came into the world to do what? Bear witness to the truth. I love the response that, well, I don't love the response of Pilate, but I think it's interesting, the response that Pilate gives. He could fit well into the 21st century, couldn't he? He was a 21st century in the first century. I like that because my personal mission statement or purpose statement that I've used for years is that I desire to be a first century Christian in the 21st century because I would like to see what happened in Acts happen now. That's my personal mission statement as an individual Christian. It's always been my desire. I want to see what happened in Acts happen here. Because I believe what Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I want to see him show up and do the same things. I'd like to see people raised from the dead. The only problem is I think they'd rather go home to be with him. So maybe it's just a reluctance. I don't know. But I just like to see it, you know. I'm just waiting for it to happen. I hear it happens on the mission field, and yet it doesn't seem to happen in North America. But my personal mission statement has always been, you know, I want to be a first century Christian in the 21st century. And I just think Pilate's is the opposite. He was a 21st century Christian or a 21st century person in the first century. Because what is the question that most people are asking today? The same question he said to Jesus when Jesus told him his purpose statement. What did he say? What is truth? Isn't that what we hear? How can you say you know the truth? It's scary because what did Jesus say? All those who know the truth will follow him, will listen to him. He said his primary purpose for coming into the world was not to heal, was not to feed the hungry, was not to die on the cross. Now, these things are all included, mind you, because that's the truth, right? But his primary purpose was to bear witness to the truth. And I think that the truth, because of the way Jesus defined, the way John defines it in the first chapter of John, is that the primary purpose of the truth is to do all those things that were aforementioned. To heal, to feed, to forgive, to redeem, to offer resurrection, to everlasting life. I mean, all these things are assumed, right? But brothers and sisters, my question for you is, what is your individual purpose statement? I can tell you what the church's statement is, to know Christ and to make him known. And we do that by belonging to the family of God, believing in Christ and his power, and becoming more Christ-like in order to share him, and by being real. That's what we do. And we have to evaluate that as a church. And my question today is more personal. Was what was your personal purpose statement for your life in the year 2009 of the Christian church? Because you know what? I don't know if you know this, but God has a call on your life. God has a purpose for you. Each one of us is unique. And whether we take the time to identify what it is or not, it doesn't change the fact that we all have a unique calling, right? I was just sharing that we were talking in adult Bible class about the priesthood of all believers. You know, we see it in the letter of St. Peter to the churches. He tells us that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. A peculiar people, but a people belonging to God. And it's interesting because in there, I always think, you know, do we really appreciate the purpose for which God has placed us here at this time in history? I don't believe it's an accident that you're here. You're going to hear this from me a lot. I do not believe in accidents. I do not believe in luck. That's why I never call things a potluck. I call it a pot blessed because I just don't believe in luck. I have really bad luck, so if I believed it, it would be bad. But no, I just don't. I just don't. That's why it's coming up to Thanksgiving, and I want us to think about what we're thankful for, what God has done, because I believe in a sovereign God who doesn't do things by accident. There is a plan, and there is a purpose for what happens in our life, right? There's a purpose for what happens in our life. Sometimes we don't know what it is until it's already passed, and we can look back and say, thank you, Lord. Sometimes we don't recognize it right in the immediate. But what is your purpose? I mean, one of the things that I like to remind people of, and I shared this morning, was when I was growing up, I was in a Scandinavian area, a group of Norwegians, Lutherans, came and planted the place where I grew up, called Camrose, Alberta. And Norwegians are interesting because they felt that they should use the same model for naming families as the Old Testament does. You know, the Old Testament model for naming families. If you were, for example, Stephen, you would be Stephen Bar Distelswag. Or what's your dad's first name?
Howard.
Bar Howard, right? Son of Howard. That's how they name. And so if you're in a Scandinavian area, guess what? You have Johnson, Hansen, Nielsen, Nelson. I mean, you, have you not experienced this? Yeah? And then you have the other cultures where they chose to name people based upon their occupation or their purpose in life, right? So you have, and you see, I'm German, so most Germans have this, you know, in their name. Anybody know what your last name stands for? A few of you? What's your last name stand for? Well, give us your maiden names. What was it?
Burmeister.
Oh, okay. Cool. did your father-in-law tell you the meaning of the name when you came around? Oh, there you go. Cool. Anybody else want to share the meaning of their name? Okay.
Beautifully named Digger.
Beautifully named Digger. Cool. Any more? Okay. So I'm not going to ask you to add things, okay? Gordon? Oh, really? Cool. Anybody else? And then you got the English. Smiths? Butlers? There's a few. Mm-hmm. Pardon me? Butler, yeah. Yeah, you married one. Anybody else? I just think that it's interesting that certain cultures name people after their purpose. And I think it's important that we start as a church, as a body of Christ, as people of God, to recognize the purpose for which God has called us. So I want to challenge you as we end this year of the Lord, 2009, this church year, that you would think about what is the purpose for which God has called you. Because one of the struggles we have, I think, as a church, is we recognize the priesthood of all believers means that everyone has a gift to offer. Everyone is called and gifted according to the purpose for which God has called them. And part of the issue is how do we find a way to help you to serve in the area of your giftedness? And if we're not helping people to really think about what is it that you're gifted to do, how can we help you to serve? So can you be like Jesus? Can you define what your purpose is? He defined his purpose right away, didn't he? In one sentence. And when you look at his life, as I said before, he could have used multiple purposes, right? I mean, just look at what he did. He could have told a huge... He could have wrote it, well, practically did, a novel, you know, of his purpose. But he summarized it in one sentence. For this purpose I was born, for this purpose I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. What's your purpose? Have you seen your purpose fulfilled over this last year? I have to tell you, it is amazing to me the way that people here at Cross Resurrection serve. I want you to know that. I am so impressed. I love being the pastor here. I love the way people pick up and do things, and it's just amazing to me. But I believe that if we're really going to be who God wants us to be, it requires us asking those tough questions. What purpose does God have? What call does God have on your life? What is your greatest desire? What is your passion? What gets you up in the morning? What makes you excited? What has God put on your heart and your life? So that if you were ever in front of a guy like Pilate, you could say, this is the purpose for which I was born. This is the purpose for which I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth, and this is the truth. Because you know what? If he went on, you know what he would have said to Pilate? Maybe he did. I don't know. Maybe it's not recorded. But he probably would have said what John 3:16 says. That he came into the, or John 3:17, that he came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world because of his love. Brothers and sisters, we serve Christ the King. And his kingdom is here. And he is here. And I believe he desperately wants us to think and ponder and meditate on. And I think it's cool that Christ the King is Sunday is coming right before Thanksgiving, because when we discover our purpose and we look back and see how he's used it, even when we didn't consciously think about it, we start to go, wow, I'm so thankful. I am so thankful that God has put us in this place at this time of history, because he has felt us worthy to serve him and to be his witnesses here at this time. You know what? When everybody struggles with all the things that are going on in this world at this time, and people do struggle, right? They go, what is happening to our society? Why is it so hard? We went to Wednesday night, we went to that death of marriage seminar that Dr. Carlson had at ULC, and just, you know, the statistics are depressing, and it's really hard to think, you know, positively, and yet I just think that the Lord must think a lot of us to have decided to put us here at this time in history. He must think that we're up to the challenge, amen? He must think that we have the gifts that he desires us to have and to use for his glory at this time in history, when it is difficult to stand up and be a Christian. It's difficult to bear witness to the truth. It's difficult to say that certain things are the truth no matter what people would like to decide and change, right? It's difficult. And yet, brothers and sisters, we have the privilege of serving our King, Christ the King, with our gifts, our talents, our treasures, with who we are. We can do the purpose for which we were called. We can serve him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the one who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Lord Almighty. And he has given us the power and the gifts necessary to fulfill our purpose. I'd like to just, again, in closing, just challenge you. If you haven't thought about this, to write down a statement. It can align with the church if you want. I mean, to know Christ and make him known is a cool thing. I think I can, I don't know, it sounds to me like it'll never be accomplished completely, because it's always going to be an ongoing challenge. Because the word we use for know is not the Greek word, which is knowledge. That's gnosis. We don't use that word. We use the word yada, which is Hebrew, which means an intimate relationship. And no matter how long we live, we're always going to be growing in our relationship, right? So to know Christ, to have a relationship with him, and then to make him known to people, there will never be an end. If you're concerned about being out of work in the Christian church with that mission statement, you don't have to worry. I'll tell you right now. Because the Lord has great plans for his people. And he has called you. You have his name on your heart and your life. You are his child. You are his priest. And he has great plans for you. And I hope and pray that over this next year, if you don't do it this week, that you'll take time to think, what is your gift? What is your purpose? What has God called you to do? And that we can help you to release that into ministry. And that you can see the blessing and the glory that comes when you're using your gifts for His glory. Amen? Amen. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks and praise and honor and glory.